on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
Good morning, and welcome to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration, which will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Welcome
to Being Here with
Ariel
and Shia Kane. Today, we're going to be talking about a transformational approach to time and project management. And since we're talking about a transformational approach, a transformational approach does not involve terribly much doing. It's got much more about being with what is. And we don't really do that very frequently. That was a pun. We don't normally be with situations. We try to do things to fix or change. And transformation isn't about fixing or changing. It's about seeing things the way they are. And that in itself, as odd as it may seem, is enough for a transformation to take place. It is not something that you do. You cannot do being transformed.
I mean,
although I'm sure you have lots of friends in your world who do being transformed rather than be being transformed.
Of course, I'm certain some of you have some really good systems for time and project management that work better or not so well. But the main key is whether or not your being here has to do with whether or not you are being effective and you're being productive and you're being satisfied as you go about your workday. And not just your workday, because it's...
How about your life?
Because, I like that.
Because your life is an extension of, or your workday is an extension of your life. You know, the reality of it is this. If you're not having fun with your life, you're not living your life. Your life is living you. And with a transformed approach, you slow down enough. This is not to tell you lazy ones out there to slow down. But for those of us who are overachievers, we slow down enough to actually be with what's happening in our lives rather than trying to get somewhere that we think is better than where we are. There are three principles to transformation, and I think we're going to have our guests tell us about those three principles.
We hear that Dave has called in with some questions, but...
But we know Dave, and Dave, you know the three principles.
Yes, I do.
You didn't expect that, did you, Dave?
No, I didn't, and I do know them, and actually my first question relates to them. So
all right.
That's perfect. So,
tell everybody the three principles and then tell us your question.
Sure. The first principle is that anything you resist persists and grows stronger.
Okay.
And it dominates your life.
That is correct.
Okay.
And the second principle is anything that you be with, anything that you allow. No, two things.
Okay.
You skipped to the third one, but that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the second principle is,
no two things can occupy the same space at the same time.
What does that mean, David?
That means that however, to me it means however I'm being in any given moment is however I can be.
That's the only
way I can
be. Can
be. Right.
Right. So you can only be exactly as you are right now.
That is how I've experienced it, yes.
Which means that a minute ago you could have only skipped to the third principle instead of the second. You couldn't have done it any other way, and how we know it is because that's how you did it, correct?
That's how I did it. That's right. No, it couldn't have been any other way.
Perfect.
Good. And what's the third one now?
The third principle is anything that you allow to be exactly the way it is will complete itself.
Perfect. So... Those are the three principles. What's your question?
Well, my question relates to the first principle, actually.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Resistance.
Yes, resistance. I find that once, in terms of projects, once I get going in a project, I tend to get involved in it and get excited about it and really get enthusiastic about it, and it gets some momentum. But I find that the getting started part is what I really have trouble with. I resist starting projects, especially if I think they're going to be challenging.
Well, one of the things that you're stuck with is this idea that being enthusiastic matters.
Uh-huh.
So I'll bet you on some level you're looking to be enthusiastic before you start a project.
Yeah, that's true.
Like you want to.
Right. I want to be all excited about it.
Right. But what if you're not all excited about it? Does that mean you can't start the project?
No, and actually in all cases, I have to do it anyway.
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting, because you see, I say that in many areas of your life, not just because I know you, but just out of this conversation, there are things that you know you're going to do anyway, yet you still resist starting them or doing them.
That's true, and that's even true for things that I truly enjoy.
That's right. So maybe it goes to the two-year-old principle. You know the two-year-old principle?
I think I do, but I'd love to have you explain it.
I'll tell you. When you were 2 years old, you came up with this idea. Whatever your parents want, do the opposite, and that'll be independence.
In other words, don't tell me what to do or no.
That's right.
No.
The no principle.
No.
No. So you have things you say you want to do, but inside, look, you work with computers. You've got an earlier system in there that says no to whatever you have as a project.
That's correct.
Inside your mental computer, there is this, no, I don't want to. No, you can't make me.
You know, Shai has this game on our computer, a solitaire game, and if he tries to make a move that doesn't want, you know, like if he's trying to put a card that shouldn't be on a different pile, I can hear the computer goes, uh-oh. And it's kind of like you go to make any move, and your computer is pre-programmed to go, no.
That doesn't mean you have to listen to that, but you've got that in there.
Yes, and I've definitely seen that and do see it in my life when I go to do, well, anything, but projects are what I'm thinking of in this conversation.
But one thing is you think that you should get over that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Every time Shia opens that program, there's a worm in there. And a worm is when something is embedded in a program and it says write once, read many. It's an acronym. Write once, read many. You wrote in the program that it goes, uh-oh, every time you make that move. You have written in your earlier program, no, I don't want to. And every time it comes up, it looks new and fresh and gets a complimentary upgrade. It gets your
current
vernacular
and current circumstances.
But you still have a mistaken idea in there somewhere, Dave, that someday you'll get over that, that you won't get that uh-oh sound. You won't get the no.
Right.
But that's the earliest conditioning. Now, look, if you are aware of it, awareness is a non-judgmental seeing. That's the third principle. Anything that you see, allow to be exactly as it is, completes itself when you see it. So if you can become aware that you have this part of you that says no to whatever you want to do.
Right.
Even if you want to do it, it doesn't matter. It's still in there. Now, certain things you override it more easily than other things.
Right. Right.
Right.
Does that mean that it never even gets quieter or fades away or is less of a problem?
It never goes away, and that doesn't mean that it doesn't fade away.
But even the question kind of comes from a change modality.
Right. See, trying to get rid of it.
Right, and that's where you keep getting caught. A change modality expects that you will have improvement. If there will be times where you won't have that no at all. You'll be in a rhythm. But you have to be interested in when the no comes back. And it doesn't mean that you've suddenly reverted. It's more about getting interested in what is.
Right.
Rather
right.
than trying to improve and get better and prove to yourself you've gotten somewhere.
That makes a lot of sense.
And again, I have to go back to that idea that you think enthusiasm is a state that matters. Now, mind you, I love it when you or we are passionate about something or enthusiastic. That's just like such an incredible benefit. But it doesn't mean anything as far as what you have to produce on a day-in, day-out basis, Dave.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I can see where, as we're talking, it's becoming obvious to me places in my life, I'm sure there are many more than I've even seen, but where I do expect that. I do want to be in that state before I start
Dave,
a project.
Dave, see, you got entirely too much attention on yourself then. See, I somehow, I hate to say this, but I somehow equate enlightenment to Alzheimer's. You know, when you're enlightened, you don't really exist that much in things. You're not trying to improve yourself. Oh, have we met? Well, nice to meet you, you know. You are constantly working on whether or not you're getting somewhere. It gives you no space to be the way you are.
Okay.
See, you have this thing that you can be right or wrong. That's in the change paradigm, there's right and wrong and good and bad and better and worse. And with transformation, it's just about the way it is in this moment.
Right.
Well, you keep on looking to see how you're doing by comparison to how you were. That's all change. And we've got to go to a break now, but we're going to come back. You're going to still be here for the rest of your questions, right, Dave?
Yes.
Excellent.
Good. So stick around, because we go to break now, and then when we come back,
we'll talk more with Dave about transformational time and project management.
So don't miss
being here.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Improve your spiritual well-being and experience a new way of looking at spirituality and wellness. Tune into Spiritual Evolution with spiritual counselor, healer, and animal communicator, Kelly Marie. Each week, Kelly and her guests explore spiritual problem solving and connecting balance between the body and spirit. Spiritual Evolution with Kelly Marie, broadcast every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 7th Wave Network, your online community for positive change. Spiritual Evolution, expanding the boundaries and broadening the vision of spirituality through inspiration and education.
The last great frontier is the magnificent mystery of the mind. Abundant evidence demonstrates that we have far more talents than we realize, and that our minds are exceptional instruments we can learn to use more fully, just as we learn to play a piano or a clarinet. Tune in to the music of your mind, Living the Extraordinary, Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network, and learn more about how you can hear the wonderful music of your mind.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
P
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Okay, we're back.
Welcome back.
We're back with Dave.
Dave.
Formerly known as Dave, Babe Magnet.
Okay, Dave, what's the story now?
Well, that was very helpful, what we talked about before the break. Thank you. I guess my other question is about making lists.
Oh, lists. I like lists. I make lists from time to time.
Yeah, I do too. I tend to be a big list maker, but what I find is a lot of things manage to migrate from one list to the next for very long periods of time, and they don't really seem to get done, and I'm not really sure.
Well, I'll tell you what I make lists for.
Okay.
I make lists of things that need to get done or that I'm going to do just so I don't drop anything out.
Okay.
This goes back to what we said earlier. See, you've got very strongly in you, in your wiring, in your system, this not wanting to be told what to do chip.
So in a certain respect, if you write it on a list, then it gives you something to resist.
Right. I guess we hit on something.
I resemble that remark.
You resemble that remark?
Yeah.
Yeah. So see, I write on a list the things that I want to buy in the store, for instance. So if I'm going to go to the store, I need to buy certain things. I write them down so I don't forget anything. That's my list making. Your list is so that you can beat on yourself if you don't do it.
It's also a way to keep yourself under constant tension.
Do you see what I mean when I said that?
Yes.
You do beat on yourself for not completing your list, right?
Very much so.
So that's a form of resistance. And it first principle, if you resist it, if you beat on yourself for it, you're going to continue to behave that way.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. That makes perfect sense.
I think you should take a look at this list that you have, Dave, and tell yourself the truth about what things you're actually going to do and what things you think you should do in order to be a good person. And if you really, like, tell the truth about which ones you're not going to do, because I'm certain there are some on there that you absolutely will never do, but you think you should have them on because you think it's a responsible you or a better you. Maybe I could feel free to just take those off.
Right.
That would be liberating. I like that idea.
Pick your battles, man. Don't say you're going to do something you're not going to do. Only put down the things you're going to do.
One of the things that really has been supportive to Shia and I is when we are doing projects that are working with other people, we do our best to keep up with the enthusiasm level or the input level of people who are supporting us. It pulls us past the natural inertia that happens in life, because if we recognize that if we are irresponsible, it dims other people's enthusiasm, it supports us in pulling ourselves past, as Shia said, that inertia. And that might be something also, is to not harness people into supporting you unless you're actually planning on doing those things anyway and you're going to step forward into doing those things, not just timely, but even faster than they might expect.
I like that, yeah.
That being said, I personally, because I handle the majority of the emails, as in typing and going through and editing, I read very fast and I type very fast, and it's not a skill set that Shia is as facile with. I know that I can keep myself under constant tension with knowing that I have X amount of emails in my inbox. And it's really important to me to really pay attention to not having a set of unreasonable standards. I'm never going to have zero sustainedly in my email inbox. It's
right.
Not part of having a healthy business. There's always things coming and going. And I think sometimes, Dave, in addition to this know that's well developed in you, you might also additionally have some unreasonable standards that you should just take a look at.
Yeah, I do. That's very true.
But also keeping yourself under a constant set of tension is a way to know yourself. So if you actually produce things in a timely manner and you don't have that tension, you might not know who you are.
That makes sense, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have any other questions? Anything else? Or are you good to go here?
You know, that's good. That's been really helpful. Thank you.
Excellent. We really enjoyed speaking with you today.
Me too. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good one.
You know, sometimes in time and project management, people will look at something like they have this whole list. Dave was talking about a list. And no two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So it is really, in this multitasking world, you really can only be handling
one thing at a time.
So if you have something big on your plate, don't try and do the whole thing. Pick a place and start.
You know, if you're climbing a mountain, if you look how high the mountain is, you never get to the top. You got to put one foot in front of other. You got to deal with what's right in front of you. If you start a project, take one piece of it, complete that, and move on. And if you can't complete that, move it to where it's as complete as it can be, and then move to the next thing.
And from time to time when you're doing things, you will hit walls. I know that there was a while back, I had this really great idea to reorganize our office, our closet. So I took all of the clothing
out of the closet.
That's right, and put it on the bed. Now, once that happened, things were really in chaos. And then I hit a wall. I didn't want to do anymore. But obviously, I couldn't sleep that night if I wanted to sleep in our bed with everything on there. It was really important that I had tolerance for things being pulled apart when I was in the middle of this project. And then it was the left foot, right foot theory of accomplishing, which is to just keep working with consistency. And a lot of people do not do that.
Well, here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most people think they are the voice they listen to.
Absolutely.
You know, the conversation that you listen to that uses your name? You know, if you say, well, my name is, that's the name that the voice you listen to uses. And if it says, I don't want to, or I don't feel like it, or I don't like this, you believe that's actually you saying it.
Right. So when I hit that wall and said, okay, that's enough for today, I had to chuckle because that was that voice saying, okay, that's enough for today. But that wasn't reasonable. That is absolutely was not how I was going to run my life, but it was a interesting and funny idea.
But most of us think that we are the voice we listen to rather than realize that we are the one who listens to that voice, that there is another way to be other than listening to that complaining voice tell you how you're doing your life wrong.
Absolutely.
What if that isn't you? What if that's just what you've been programmed with?
Another idea for all of you who are interested in a transformational approach to time and project management is recognizing that in a certain respect, if you've hit that wall or you hit that place where you're feeling like you're not being productive or and it's not you're not being effective and you're not being satisfied, well, first of all, incompletions will drain you. So in a certain respect, all you have to do is just take a look around you. I guarantee you, whether you have downloaded this on your MP3 player and you're in your car or listening to it on your subway or in the office or you're at your computer, you look around you, anywhere you are, you're likely to find incompletions, things, projects that you've started.
Dishes in the sink.
Now, again, the three principles of transformation. It can only be incomplete if it's incomplete. And if you resist it being the way it is,
it stays that way.
Anything you allow to be exactly as it is, and that includes seeing it exactly as it is, anything you allow to be exactly as it is completes itself. And
sometimes the dishes require that I move my hands over them with a sponge and soapy water for them to complete themselves. But I tell you, when the sink is clean of dishes, somehow I walk through that room, I'm not distracted by it. There are things in your life that you get distracted by because they're incomplete.
So it really doesn't matter where you start. If you start with something and complete it and move to the next something and complete it, life generally has entropy, where things devolve down into a state of disorder or chaos. You can impact that by simply making a move and completing something.
You imply order on your life. You can either be at the effect of your life, be at the effect of the voice that says, I don't want to, or you can be the dictator of your own life. It's up to you. I know we all give ourselves excuses why we can't, but the reality of it is, if it matters to you enough, you do it. And if it doesn't, you don't. And your parents aren't the reason why you don't do it.
Oh, once we met a fellow.
Oh, I know this. This was in Hawaii, right?
Yes. We were leading a course in Hawaii.
Now, what Ariel and I are talking about happened about 18 years ago.
But we met this fellow, and one of the things that happened, it was a residential group, and the people who happened to, that fellow who is his roommate came in and said, you know, I really do not like...
that this guy doesn't make his bed in the morning.
It bothers me.
Or all day, for that matter.
And this fellow who didn't make his bed was 30. And we said, okay, so what's the deal here? He said, well, my mother never taught me how to make my bed.
This man was 30 years old.
You know, there comes a time...
when it doesn't matter whether your mother didn't teach you how to handle a project or manage your time effectively. At some point, it becomes up to you.
So transformational time and project management, it is all up to you. We're going to delve more into the subject in another moment. We'll be back shortly, so come on back. Don't miss being here.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. Transformationmadeeasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the Seventh Wave Network and discover your true nature.
Never before in the history of live radio have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the hidden realms. This exceptional mystic, seer, and healer creates a truly amazing bridge across the chasm that has separated man for eons from the unseen worlds of mystery. Join host Al Mean for an extraordinary and enlightening hour by Walking Between the Worlds on Voice America's 7th Wave Network. Walking Between the Worlds airs live every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Listening on a higher dimension. 7th Wave Network.
You You're listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back to Being Here. We're talking about a transformational approach
to time and project management. All right, we have another caller.
Valerie,
Valerie.
Is there? Hi, yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, you guys were taught, you mentioned distractions earlier, and that's sort of what my question is about. I'll find oftentimes I'm at work and I'm working on something and then the phone will ring or my boss will come by and say, oh, hey, did you talk to this person about that? And or how's this going? And I'll do whatever it is I have to do.
This is a very good question, Valerie.
I
like this question.
Great.
Because I know where you're going with it.
Okay, good.
See, your question is based in a change reality rather than a transformational reality, where if something intrudes in your project or your time or your life, you take it as an intrusion rather than something you include. So
right.
You're going to say that it distracts you from what you were doing.
Yeah, well, oftentimes I'll just totally forget about what I was doing before and then realize later in the day.
Yes, but that's your punishing them for having interrupted you.
Oh, gotcha.
It's
okay.
A mini temper tantrum.
Tempi tantrum. That's right. It's a tempi tantrum. You're going to punish them for interrupting you when you were doing your job, and they'll suffer because you won't do your job properly, and it's all their fault because they asked you something.
Okay.
See, what if life is this continuum of moments of now, and stuff happens in each of those moments that is outside of your control?
Right.
And so something happens. You're doing a project, the phone rings, outside of your control. You can either resent the phone's ringing and complain to yourself that you have to answer it, or you can hold what you're doing in abeyance, pick up the phone, be there for that phone call, do what you need to do with that phone call. When you hang up that phone, you can go right back to what you were doing before on that project that you put into a state of stasis for that moment until you got back to it.
Right. Yeah, that's true, because sometimes that's what happens. But
that's right. That's when you're not in a temper tantrum.
Complaining,
though.
Right.
Okay.
I know that sometimes you work with customer support. So a person will call you, and you'll be working on a project, and they will require you to go to a different computer screen in order to help them.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why you can't either keep the screen you are working on open in the background, or you can jot yourself a little note about where you're at before you answer their question. You can just say, one moment, let me bookmark where I'm at. However it is that you do it, technically speaking, a person will recognize that they're calling in to a person who's in the midst of doing things. That's what happens when you call in.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with you bookmarking where you're at, however you do that. But then you wouldn't have something to complain about yourself about.
Right.
Then you'd actually have to be responsible for all the things you're working on.
Right. Oh, that's really neat, because that's great. And another question that was related to that was just in general, like the big picture, because at any one time I can be working on many different projects, and some, of course, require, you know, have deadlines sooner than others. And that also happens in that context where I will sort of lose sight of one project for a couple days and then come back to it. And I think that also has to do with the complaining factor or the punishment factor, perhaps.
Well, do you see that you do that?
Yeah, I do.
That you complain to yourself that you're being interrupted from what you are supposed to be doing, rather than everything that you do in your job is what you're supposed to be doing?
Right.
And I'm sure that there are certain projects that have more of an A priority, but the reality of it is you're resisting being intruded upon causes more of a time delay in the completion of the project than it would take if you would just handle that phone call and go back to work.
Okay.
Because there's a complaint in it that you were intruded upon, and don't they realize that they're stopping you from whatever?
Right.
Well, one of the things about you, Valerie, because I know you quite well, one of the things that you do is you work part-time for us. And there's something that my favorite Mark Twain quote, he says, don't put off until tomorrow what you can just as easily put off until the day after tomorrow as well.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm used to don't put off till tomorrow what you should be doing today, you know. But I know that at times where you err, if there's such a thing as erring, is you like to have all the plates spinning at once. So you won't say, Ariel, I can do that tomorrow, but today I have this, this, and this first. Mm-hmm. Which gives me the opportunity to say, why don't we push something aside and you can do this today? Or, no problem, you can get it to me at the end of the week. So somewhere you hold everything as having to be done now. And you cannot do everything now. There's only a certain amount of time units in a day.
Right.
And somehow you have it in, if you are a good worker or a responsible worker or an adult person or a high executive or however you have it cataloged in there, you would be able to do everything all at once, and it simply doesn't work that way.
That's so true. Yeah, I have it that all those things you said, being a good worker, responsible, you know, professional, yeah.
Right. How old were you when you put together your model of what a professional woman was?
Probably about 9 or 10.
Okay.
That's just the number that popped into my head.
Cool.
Yeah.
Any other questions about time and project management?
Well, it's funny how this is all related, but you mentioned it in your Mark Twain quote, but procrastination just in general, I've been basically, you know, I'm a procrastinator, and it's something I've done all my life. And when I don't have those things, when I'm not telling myself, I have to do this now, it somehow gets done. But that was just one of the things that I wanted to ask about, is how to have things happen in a more, I don't know, appropriate or timely way.
Well, you got to realize something. You got to realize that you don't like to be told what to do.
Okay.
Do you see that?
Yes.
You're clear about that. You don't like to be told what to do.
Yes.
Well, procrastination is nothing more than you telling you what to do. And then that internal conversation says, no, don't tell me what to do.
Right.
So it's you're telling yourself to do the certain projects that you have, and then you're saying to yourself, no, I don't want to.
No, it occurs to me that you calling yourself a procrastinator, that label does not necessarily do you any good, because you don't take a look and see that you do not procrastinate across the board
all the time in all circumstances.
That you haven't really looked at the isness of it, as in how it is situational, and see if there's a similarity in the types of situations that have to do with procrastination. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Okay, great. So what we're going to do now, because we are not going to procrastinate.
Procrastinate.
Is we're going to take a break, and we'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more about this situational procrastination, okay?
Great, thank you.
Okay. We'll be back shortly, everybody.
Don't miss
Being Here.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, and enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you too can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com to receive free audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit www.transformationmadeeasy.com. TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Discovering Our True Nature with host Brandon Cohen takes you on a journey into consciousness with guided meditations and a discussion which supports connection with your true self. Join Brandon every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover your true nature. Tune into Inner Speak Soul Adventures Talk Radio Show every Tuesday evening at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 Eastern, and learn how to let go of your past and create the reality you desire and deserve, allowing your inner communication to take place more easily without the interference of our noisy mind chatter or your ego. Inner Speak Soul Adventures with Gene Adrian, right here on the 7th Wave Network.
Be extraordinary. 7th Wave Network.
You are listening to Being Here with host Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We are talking with Val about transformational time and project management. But before we go back and talk to her a little more about this situational procrastination, I wanted to invite anybody who's going to be in the New York area to come soon. We will be back for our Monday night Alive Instantaneous Transformation Evenings. They're starting again on March 10th. Our international calls will be coming soon. The end of March, we have Money, Success, and Happiness, The Art of Being Wealthy. It's the last weekend in March. You can come join us in New York for that as well. And so we just wanted to take a moment to invite you. You can find out more about that at our website.
TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Okay, Val, you still there?
I'm here, yeah.
What I have noticed about you is that you are very, very responsible. You get things done in a way that is so fast and so timely. I personally am often inspired and impressed. But I have noticed that if there's something that for whatever reason you find frightening in the concept of it, you hide it from yourself. And you're actually actively hiding it from yourself, and you're labeling it procrastination.
Oh.
So you set up a big book promotion for us with Amazon. There's a piece that you didn't do that cost you a whole lot of work afterwards. It wasn't a big deal, but it's as if you hide certain pieces because you're not quite sure how to do them, or when you were pitching PR things to different companies, when you weren't sure how to do it or you didn't know if television people would want to speak with you, you just wouldn't do it.
Right.
So it's not everything. If you get interested in what kind of situations trigger it, then you can actually even put it in red in your book. Aha, this is the type that I'm likely to hide from myself. This is the type that I'm likely to put off till last. We knew a woman once, very high executive. She used to be the executive assistant for the person who ran the New York Stock Exchange. And what she discovered was she often would keep this huge to-do list with all sorts of things that in there she would sandwich one or two things that she considered frightening. And if she could keep everything clustered up, she wouldn't have to confront the things that she didn't think she knew how to handle.
Uh-huh. That sounds familiar.
Does it make sense?
It does. That's great. I like how you say I hide them from myself, because it's so true. I'll find other things to do that really aren't as important as that thing that I'm hiding. And it really
becomes, it goes away, for me, it
totally gets hidden. So,
well, if you have a sense of humor about it, when you're getting ready to do projects for us or your bosses or for yourself, you can let people know, hey, you know, there are three aspects in this particular project that are the hide myself variety. You can have a sense of humor about it.
Great.
It allows everybody to support you in supporting yourself.
Okay, that's great.
Excellent.
Thanks.
You're so welcome.
Awesome.
We appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah, thank you both. I really appreciate it as well.
Good.
Notice, again, we're talking about a transformational approach where you discover what is without judging what you see.
See, if you see that you're doing something that's not supporting you, that's enough to have it transform. If you beat on yourself for being the way you are, second principle, you can only be the way you are in any given moment. If you beat on yourself for that, that shifts to the first principle of something you're resisting and wishing would be different than it is, so it stays in place, because anything you resist persists, grows stronger, and dominates your life. But the third principle is anything that you see, allowing it to be exactly as it is enough for it to complete itself.
Yeah.
And I know that goes outside of most people's system of logic, because most of us think that you have to do something to change or fix what you don't like. The problem is, for every solution to a problem, you create new problems.
Each of us have erroneous ideas about ourselves. So when Valerie's talking about how, oh, I'm a procrastinator, I've been a procrastinator all my life, well, that is such a broad brushstroke. I have the idea that I'm not organized. My friends all laugh at me because I'm one of the more organized people that they know. But my idea about myself, that conversation that was set in place when I was a younger person, is still in there. It's a worm also, like we were talking with Dave, right? Once, read many. It's in there, this idea that you have about yourself. What works is getting interested in looking and seeing what is, not what you would prefer to be. Make sense to you?
Makes sense to me. I was just thinking, I got caught with that thing that you said about, right, once, read many,
mm-hmm.
that I should reread that chapter in our first book, because I've really forgotten about it.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah, it's interesting how you can forget something that you knew and that was potent, and it just slips out of your consciousness and it's gone. And when you mentioned it, I said, I don't remember what that means.
Right, it's a little bit like having a toolbox, and one of the tools you haven't used in a long time, and you've gotten used to only swinging a hammer or using the wrench, and you have a lot of other things that might be more useful to you than what you've
right.
been swinging for a while.
Right.
One of the things, too, in time and project management is you have to recognize that everything you do matters, and at the same time, nothing you do matters.
But let's go back to everything matters.
Please.
You see, I like that better than nothing matters, because
mm-hmm.
if you start operating as if everything you do in your life matters, without putting a pressure on yourself, but since you're doing it and since this moment is all you have, see, we only have this moment of now, really, and then each and everything you do in this moment makes a difference and matters. And when you are operating in your life as though what you're doing matters, it does. It makes a difference. And then if you're there for it, what you produce is excellence.
Now, nothing matters is not quite accurate, but I guess how I was using the term was more in terms of not taking yourself so seriously.
Right.
It's really hard to see what is or how you're doing things if there's this great weight behind, what you're discovering, rather than it being this adventure of looking and seeing what is.
Well, you know, we have a nephew who, when he was 2 years old, his mother came to us and said, you know, I don't know what to do about him. He's giving himself time out all the time now. I thought I was going to have that for special things when he was bad, and now he's giving himself time out. He said, I pulled a cat's tail. I'm giving myself time out, Mommy. Well, what we do as human beings is, at first, people give us rules about what to do. And then we internalize those rules so they become ours. And we give ourselves time out. And we become very hard on ourselves. We dictate our life out of decisions that a child made many, many years ago. And we haven't reinvestigated where we got the idea that we have to be a certain way to produce results.
So whether it's the two-year-old version of you saying no or the nine-year-old version of you who's put together idea of what a professional woman is, it really doesn't matter. Once you get here,
then you can be appropriate to your life in this moment and see what's needed and wanted and produce it rather than resist what you know you're going to do anyway.
The other thing is, if you got things to do, just start something. Start somewhere. Once you get up to speed, it's going to be so much easier for you.
That's the other thing. Once you get up to speed, stay up to speed. Do not take your foot off the accelerator. See, most people, when they get up to speed, that's when they take their foot off the accelerator. But then what happens is you slow down again.
Right. I deserve a break.
Right. It's so much easier to stay up to speed when you keep your foot on the gas, and you get much better gas mileage.
And sometimes being up to speed means taking
a break.
And you know what we're going to do now?
We're going to say goodbye.
And take a break until next week, when we'll be back with you here at Being Here. So come on back with us next week and share it with your friends.
Right.
It's a great gift, transformation.
Right. Don't miss it.
Yeah, don't miss being here.
We hope you have enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at www.transformationmadeeasy.com.